And I will say once again, Happy New Year to everyone, So glad that you made it. You ought to give God some praise right there, because hundreds of thousands of people who thought they'd see 2021 did not. Millions of people around the world who thought they'd see 2021 did not. But you're here to witness what's going to be an amazing year, I'm sure. We've already gotten off to a good start in many ways. And you say, Brother Mark, some people are still crazy in 2021. Yes, they were crazy in 2015, 2012, you know, 2000. You remember the doomsdayers that when we crossed over from 99 to 2000 and they thought, hey, yeah, this is it. The apocalypse is happening tomorrow. It didn't. And here we are 20 years later, actually 21 years, I guess, later to tell about it. And so God is good. That's what I got to say right off the bat. God is good. Good morning, Minister Tucker. Good to see you. So I want to start a brand new series for a brand new year. And Happy New Year to you, Minister Tucker. I want to start a brand new series for a brand new year, and this one's going to be a little different. You said, Mark, you say that every time. Yeah, I guess I do. They are a little different, but praise God. Praise God for them. The idea for this one kind of just occurred to me. You know, I said, Lord, what are we going to talk about? You know, I've already talked about this. I've already talked about that. Good morning, Pastor Carol. I was talking with my good friend, Minister Regina Rogers, the other day, and she was mentioning a sermon that I had done some time ago, and I said, did I preach that? She's like, yeah, that was you. You did. I was there. I'm like, man, okay. I guess I'm getting a little bit of a catalog going there. I get to forgetting some of the ones that I've preached. And as far as Transformation Hour series are concerned, Lord have mercy, there are probably 40 or 50 Transformation Hour whole series that I have done. And so let's see here. Hope we're still on. Pastor Carol, you knocked me off for a second there. Don't go in my private room. You're knocking me off. Okay, there we go. We're back. Hopefully everybody can see me and we're back on. yeah, Facebook has got this little new thing called Rooms, and you can duck off into the side on a private, you know, room, or invite, you know, several others, I guess, into the room. And but we're not doing that today. We're just straight Facebook Live on our Deliverance Temple Ministries DTM Live Facebook page. So stay here with me, and we'll be all right. So Pastor Carol got a new phone, so you know she said, "Why he gonna front me like that?" Yeah, she's still figuring out the buttons and stuff, you know, on there. So don't get too upset with her. But anyway, we're back. We're up. And I see most of you are here with us. So praise God for that. Once again, and I don't think I can say it too many times. You're going to hear it a few more times, maybe today and certainly in the weeks to come. Happy New Year to you. Glad to be here and glad to have crossed over into 2021. So I want to start perhaps with a brief prayer as we go forward today. And then I want to get into the material, as it were, for the new series that we're doing this morning. Well, good morning. I've got some friends of mine joining who are not regular viewers. So good to see you, Nick and Bob. Great to see you, sir. And let me wave right back at you there. Okay, so I want to start with a brief prayer, and then we're going to go into the series that we have for this month of January 2021, a brand new series, And I'll announce it in just a second. A little mystery, little hesitation there to keep you on the edge of your seat, right? So, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We are so thankful to be your children. We're so thankful for your love and your kindness. We're so thankful for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we have crossed over into a brand new year, a year of new possibilities, a year of new opportunities, a year where we get the chance once again to say, I love you to others. We get the chance to greet them and to wish them well and to pray for them and to lift them up and to edify them. And we count that a privilege, God. We count that a privilege every single day. Our hearts are filled this morning with gratitude, with praise, and with love for you. We ask, God, that you would bless each one under the sound of my voice, whether watching live or here present in the building or on replay. Let them be blessed by what we shall share today. May it be to your glory and to our benefit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to do an intro a bit for a series that I'm calling, and some you Facebook people see you got the jump on the other folks because you're actually able to read at the top of the post here the series title. So they right here actually don't know it yet. So there's one place you got a little bit of an advantage. But the topic that we're using this month is five things I know for sure. Five things that I know for sure. And so kind of the way that this topic has come to me as I was, you know, meditating and asking God, what do we speak about this month of January? As I noted earlier, we've talked about so many things and so many subjects, and we've looked at so many scriptures and so many topics over the many years that we've been doing Transformation Hour. And, you know, I thought about the fact that here in 2021, we find ourselves bombarded still by all kinds of voices, all kinds of images coming in from around us. You know, old school, good old TV that's been around for, you know, 70 years or so, up to the very latest in social media apps like Snapchat and TikTok and Clubhouse now that we're on. And so you have all kinds of voices coming at you. I suppose that's always been the case, but now it seems that they've been amplified. Perhaps that's a good word to use. They've been amplified by the many, many social media and television and other internet kinds of entrees into your mind that there are. A lot of highways going into your mind. We need to put up some roadblocks maybe on some of those. But in this year of 2021, as we're reflecting still on 2020 that's just passed, and perhaps, of course, the most pressing matter in 2020 was and continues to be the global pandemic of coronavirus and COVID-19. We know that it has drastically impacted economies, all the way down to individuals and families in very dark and devastating ways. And the world has changed. You know, I think kind of in some ways, similarly perhaps, the last time that we really had this kind of a shift in America was when the Trade Center was bombed and on 9/11. Back now, many, many years ago. And people wondered if we'd get back to normal. And we kind of sort of did, but things changed. Some things were changed forever after that. Likewise, with this global pandemic, you know, things have changed. Things have drastically changed. And, you know, is there going to be getting back to normal? No, I don't think so. I think we have to adapt, as it were, in some ways. to new normals and new ways of doing things. But in the midst of all of that, the foundation of your faith, the foundation of your belief, the foundation of your worldview is challenged. That's a pause on purpose right there. I'm letting you think about that fact that your worldview has been challenged. Your faith has been challenged. You are perhaps at a different place than you were before the pandemic in how you think about things, how you think about people, how you think about places, etc. As I've mentioned before, and probably you can all relate, you know, can't count the times when I've gotten out of the car to head across the parking lot to the store and get halfway there and, oh, forgot my mask, you know, or see others doing the same kind of thing, that halfway walk to the grocery store and then back to your car to get your mask. You know, so kind of stuff that we didn't have to think about a year ago that has changed drastically. But I want you to understand that while that is, you know, out front and kind of in your face, no pun intended, kind of changes, we also have some perhaps more subtle changes that we haven't paid as much attention to. These kind of things put stress on your inner world as well. And you are subject perhaps to shift and change, maybe without your really noticing so much what's going on internally, how I'm really feeling, what do I really believe, and what do I know for sure? What foundational truth is there that I have learned or embraced up to now that is still solid, that still allows me, as it were, to center back in and to regain focus on all that's changing around me? I would suggest to you that it's very important to be able to have at least a handful of things that are stable no matter what. You need to know some things for sure. You need not be a person, as James warns us about in his letter, who is blown about and tossed around with every different idea that pops up. How many of you understand that there are millions and millions of ideas happening every day with folks? And some, because, again, of the influence of social media in particular and of broadcast media in a larger context, some have the platform and are using that platform to try to influence what you think is true, what you think is important, what's at the center of your life and of your worldview and of your understanding of things. Is that going to be true tomorrow, or is it shakable? Have you, as Jesus warns in his parable, have you become one of those people? Pastor Ron Fitz, what you doing in here, man? God bless you, brother. I love you. Are you one of those people who has built everything in your life, your worldview, your understanding of the world and of people, etc., on the sand, or is it built on something more solid, so that when craziness like a global pandemic shows up, are you still able to find your center and to navigate out from that, or are you being blown around with every idea, with every pandemic, you know, news flash that is occurring? Yeah, I'll let you think about that for a second. Because for some, I mean, their minds are just about gone because they have allowed everything out there to influence them in such a way that their foundation, which might have been a little shaky to begin with, has eroded and their house of cards has come crumbling down. I want to suggest to you this morning, people of God, that we need not be like that. There are some things that we know for sure, or should know and can know for sure, that will allow us to hold firmly to the center. You know, there's a popular song in Christian circles. It's an old song, but still popular. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. You're the hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center. It's a good one, First Lady says. Yes, it is. And we do well, I think, to remember, as people who are believers, that he is indeed the center of our joy, of our life. He is the center that allows us to look upon the situations and circumstances around us and still maintain some semblance of sanity. I got to wonder about some of us, and maybe sometimes y'all wondering about me, if I'm still holding on, if the cheese has slid off the cracker, or if I still got it in control here. Well, I don't know that I ever had it in control, but he does. And so I'm trying my best to stay right there. I'm trying my best to use that center as my locus of control and as my focal point out on the world rather than the other way around. And so I thought about this a little bit, and, you know, it occurred to me, if I was, my God, today, I don't know what Facebook has done, but obviously I've got friends of mine who are popping in from my friends list. Good morning, Doctor. How you doing? Good to see you, sir. Who are not normally attendees of DTM Transformation Hour. So glad to have you. Glad you're here. Welcome. Stay as long as you like. We're talking this morning about five things I know for sure. I've been laying a little foundation suggesting that you need to have, and maybe you got one thing that you can hold on to, maybe three, maybe five, maybe, you know, as I started to think about it, I said there are probably 10 or 12, and I'm blessed. I'm really blessed because I can say there are probably 10 or 12 things that I think I know for sure. You know, no matter what comes or goes, pandemics and wars and all kinds of craziness, there are some things that I know for sure. But in a practical sense, we just got five Sundays this month, y'all. So I say, let me narrow it down a little bit to five things that I know for sure, five things that I can talk about and share that may strike a chord with you as well, hopefully to further establish that center for you from which you can navigate all the craziness in the world successfully and even joyfully. We spent last month talking about the not-so-secret secret of joy. I think it is the point. God intends for us to find joy in him and him in us, even in the midst of all the craziness that goes on in our world. And we would be remiss if we said for a moment, oh, well, you know, you're just supposed to go through and everything's great. Once you become a Christian, everything, I think we all know better. How many of you understand that the world keeps turning after you say the sinner's prayer, however you got in? The world keeps turning. Absolutely. Mean folks are still out there. Working. And some crazy stuff is going to happen in your world. But if you have a center that is stable, if there are some things that you know for sure, then you can continue to navigate successfully whatever the world throws at you, whatever happens during the course of your life. And that's what, you know, that's what I think we want to be, is people who are able not only to successfully navigate the course of life, but are able to actually help others as they're doing so as well. It's no fun by yourself. This Christian life is a life of community. It's a life of togetherness, of family, if you will. And I don't want to do life alone. My good friend, Pastor Cassandra Elliott out in North Carolina, says we are not intended or designed to do life alone. And I like that. And so that's why I keep showing up every Sunday, you know, to hang out with the folks here at Deliverance Temple and you who are joining us by internet, to let you know you don't have to do life alone. And letting you know this month that there are some things that, you know, maybe you can know for sure that will form a center from which you can do life successfully and happily and joyfully, even as we discussed on last month. So as I thought about the format, I said, what if I, Mark Dixon, world famous person that he is, ha ha ha, what if I were to be interviewed by someone, you know, maybe Oprah called me up or her good friend Gail King and said, I want to do an interview with you. I've heard a little bit about you. And, I want to ask you this question we're going to talk about. Give me five things, Mark, that you know for sure. Give me five things that you know for sure. Think about that. If someone were to ask you that question, if you were on Gail King's show and she sat across and asked you, or maybe you're on 60 Minutes or whatever your favorite news or entertainment venue is, and they ask you the question, what do you know for sure? Give me five things that you know for sure. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that some of you might have a moment of hesitation. You might find yourself saying, oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me think about it. And I don't know. I don't know if you could, you know, your mind be flooded with 10 things that you know for sure, or if you'd have trouble pulling up one. But I want to suggest to you, here's some things that I know for sure and that perhaps are good for us all to kind of at least consider as believers as to whether or not we know these things for sure or whether we find ourselves in more slippery territory. So without revealing all five of them, you're going to have to come back each week to find out what they are. But the first one I want to start with today, you might have guessed. And that first one is that God loves me. When I am in a situation where I don't know up from down, when I'm in a situation where I'm trying to figure it out, when I'm in a situation where chaos and confusion has broken out all around me, when I'm in a situation where things are not going the way that I had hoped or planned, and my mind might become unstable. Oh, it ain't just me, y'all. Let me lean in. It ain't just me, right? Your mind gets a little unstable. Sometimes we call it stress. I'm just stressed out. Oh, that's just me? Is that? Oh, okay. Okay. The thing that I return to once I kind of, you know, freak out for a little while usually, the thing that I return to is God's love for me. That's the absolute number one foundational thing that I know for sure. Wake me up at 3:06 in the morning with a gun to my head and say, what do you know for sure? Say, I know God loves me. Amen. That's why when you pull that trigger, ain't nothing going to happen. And if it does, I'm going to be in his arms in the next second. I know God loves me. I know this experientially, but I also know this from the scripture, from the word of God. Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New, the scripture is replete with examples and with truth that lets us know that God loves us. And he didn't just start loving you today. He didn't just start loving you when you got in trouble. He didn't just start loving you when you discovered, oh, there's God. The scripture tells us, and this is Jeremiah chapter 31. We're over in the Old Testament prophets to start off. Good morning, sister. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pastor Charlotte. Good Lord, they're just coming in from everywhere today. I don't know what Facebook has done. Opened up my friends list, apparently. So there you are. Good morning to you. So Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. King James says, with cords of loving kindness wrapped around you, I'm pulling you to me because I love you. Unfailing kindness. The NIV renders it. No matter what you do or have done, my kindness remains the same. You see, here's one of the things that I have learned, and one of the things that causes me to know that God loves me, and to count that as one of the things I know for sure, and that is at the center of my life, is that His love is all about Him and who He is, even when I'm being somebody else. Okay. Sometimes I wake up and stumble into the bathroom and I say, which one of you is here today, Mark? Which Mark is this today looking back at me? Oh, again, maybe that's just me. That's us? Okay, First Lady. But God remains faithful. He remains who He is all the time. All the time. In fact, and maybe I can pull it up. This is not in my notes because I'm kind of freewheeling on some of this today as he leads me. The Apostle Paul. Yeah, there it is. Oops. Praise God. The Apostle Paul tells us a little bit about God and about about us. Because as I said, we may wake up and be whoever on a given day. But He remains who He is 24/7. And He is love. John tells us very succinctly in his letter that God is love. He is love. He is love. Amen. He is love. And so, here we go. This one is 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. I love this. Let me read it in the King James to you. The one God gave to Adam in the garden, y'all. Yeah. Anyway, 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, in other words, you know, we become unstable. We're not sure which side is up. And again, I think I'm not alone in having those days. The scripture says, yet He abideth faithful. And here's the kicker on that verse. He cannot deny Himself. He is who He is. Bishop tells us God is good. And then he goes on to say He's good on a bad day. I would add to that, God is love. And He's love on a bad day. God is faithful, and He's faithful on a bad day. See, it doesn't matter necessarily what you're going through or who you wake up being on a particular day. He remains who He is.
Absolutely. Don't
And that gives me a place to grab hold of when the whole world seems to be falling apart.
Come on, sir.
I can rely upon the fact that he is love and that he loves me. Come on now, there's the thing.
Absolutely.
If he was just love over in a corner, that'd be one thing. But he loves me. How do I know? Well, again, I would return to the scripture. I could call out a number of them, but, you know, let's go to a couple that we know real easily, right? John 3, what verse I'm asking y'all? Where am I going? Come on now, minister. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I think that includes you. I know it includes me. That he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I love that first few words, though. God so loved the world. I know that that includes me. See, I'm talking about five things that I know for sure. When all else is unstable and shifting in your life, when a new year is approaching and now has come, and you're questioning, is this going to be a happy new year or not? Is this going to be more of the same old stuff that I've gotten in the past? Maybe. But even if it is, here are some things we should know for sure. And the first one is God loves you. He absolutely loves you. And it is that love that allows you to begin to, okay, let me take a breath. Let me move back into a space of gratitude, because come on, if you understand this even a little bit and accept that God really does love me, if that's a foundational truth, if that's something you know for sure, then it evokes within you a sense of thanksgiving and gratitude. And I would suggest to you, as I have many times before in this context, in this format here of Transformation Hour, that place of gratitude, that space of gratitude, is one in which you can more calmly hear his direction, his instruction, in one you can more calmly receive his protection, and knowing that's going to be all right, no matter what come or go. It's going to be all right because God loves me. Listen, we wishy-washy with this word so much. I know. You know, I love Jesus and I love pizza and I love, you know, big trucks and, okay, whatever, okay. We throw that word around pretty loosely in the English language, at least. But he is absolute love. He is what the Greeks called agape love. This isn't just about, are you my friend when I like you and when you treat me well? No, that's a different kind. Now let me go aside just real quick. I'm leaning into the camera, y'all. Let me go aside real quick and meddle with somebody. Y'all know I had to meddle a little bit, right? See, sometimes it isn't just out there in the world. Let me bring it on home in the church. Sometimes, you know, we thought we were going to get some agape from our fellow brother and sister in the church, and they come with something else. I love you like a play sister. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I need some more than that. I love you as long as you are being nice to me. Can I go even petty? Come on, let's just go petty for a minute. I loved you until you came in with that same outfit that I bought at Kato's on the same Sunday.
Okay.
And look better in it than I do. I got no love for you, no. It's broken. Because it was fickle in the first place, y'all. Let me just go on and tell you. I'm glad God isn't like that. I'm glad that his love is not like that. I'm glad that I don't have to wonder if he loves me today. I don't have to wonder, even though he know what I did last summer. He don't change. Oh my goodness. So let me look at one of my favorites here. Y'all know this one too. But I want to read it to you, maybe in a couple of versions, maybe one or two, I don't know. But we'll take a look. This is the Apostle John again, and this is 1 John. My goodness gracious, where y'all coming from? Good morning, Adrian, Elisa, golly. Good to see y'all this morning. Again, I don't know what Facebook is doing, but its algorithms have opened up my personal friends list, obviously, as some of them are popping up here at Deliverance Temple Ministries Transformation Hour today. And that's cool. Love it. Verse number 18, this is chapter 4 of 1 John. And reading from the, good morning, Sister Robin. Good Lord, I'm just amazed here today. Reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, this is NIV. There's no fear in love. Oh my goodness, that's good news to somebody right there. I'm talking about five things that I know for sure, and I said number one is that God loves me. This same Apostle John tells us here earlier in the letter that God is love. And he goes on then to say in verse 18, there is no fear in love. Man, that's good news. That's some stabilizing stuff right there. When the whole world has gone to hell in a handbasket, stands up strong, First Lady says. That's right. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Get this, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not perfect or mature in love. Now, here's what I want to, let me read one more version for you, and then I want to tell you why this is so important to me, and maybe you can relate as well. In the Living Bible translation, Ken Taylor's version here of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, we have no need to fear someone who loves us perfectly. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. Y'all got any idea who that someone is he's talking about? Hallelujah. His perfect love for us. I want to be clear this morning, talking about five things that I know for sure. Thank you, ma'am. Number one is that God loves me. And I have no need to fear one who loves me perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. We don't have to worry that he's walking around with a big stick ready to smack us upside the head every time we make a mistake or an error, every time we get a little scared, every time we're unfaithful. Paul just said he stays who he is. He remains faithful even when we're not. Because he is love. And he loves us. He loves us.
Without a doubt.
And there's no need to fear. There's no, fear has no place in this context. John goes on to say then, this again is the Living Translation, chapter 4, 1 John. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we're not fully convinced that he really loves us. Oh my God. There's an indictment. There's a little clue for you. If you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off up in the middle of this pandemic, up in the middle of all the chaos and craziness going on in the world, if that's your situation and you're wondering if God has sent this and if he's going to get me and I haven't been perfect and maybe he's coming after me, maybe I'm next, maybe I'm... Oh, but Christians don't think like that. People who go to church all the time, they don't ever have a thought like that. Ha! Bishop would say right there, amen, lights. Yeah, we do. But John says that just shows us that we're not yet fully convinced that he really loves us. Listen, I'm telling you that there's some things you got to know for sure. And I would suggest to you, just as if Oprah or Gail were interviewing me and asked me, what do you know for sure, Mark? What? Tell me something you know for sure. I'd lead off with this one. God loves me. Listen, it's a simple message, perhaps. But maybe it's because of its simplicity and its clear and ever-present truth that it's so powerful. We look to complicate things, and man, can I tell you what you already know, and that is that human beings are real good at complicating even the simplest of things.
Right.
We can mess it up. We can foul it up, y'all. We can complicate it. We can add layers to it. I'm going to meddle for just another quick minute. See, because sometimes folks in the church, you know, they got, oh, Lord, I'm going out on a limb. But, you know, we got all kinds of issues and, you know, we wonder, man, can a Christian have a demon? And because I think Sister Jones has got one or 10. We're trying to figure it out. When you yourself, yeah, while looking at the speck in her eye, got a tree limb hanging out of yours.
Teach.
And you are one of those people who complicates the simplest of stuff.
Teach.
You wonder why the thing is still on you, why it won't go away. Maybe it's a demon. No, maybe it's just you. Maybe you're holding on to everything that is coming at you out here. Maybe you're, you know, spending too much time on Fox News or MSNBC or one of them. Maybe you're spending too much time in the chat rooms on Clubhouse talking about other folk. Yeah, I'm looking at you. They would, First Lady. Unfortunately, they would. And all the while, layering up and loading up confusion in your own mind.
Yes. Come on, sir.
So when God himself is trying to come at you with this simple, foundational truth, I am love and I love you. You can't even hear it.
Come on, sir.
You can't find the strength and the power that it avails to you. Because you've layered up with all kinds of other mess.
Gook.
Confusion. Complications.
Come on, sir.
You know, you say, well, it can't be that simple. God loves me. All this, don't you not see all this is going on in the world? You're talking about God loves me. Yeah, it can be that simple. It is that simple. It is the thing that makes sense out of the senseless. Because can I tell you what I already know? And I, you know, I'm going to have a birthday, Lord say the same, a little later this month. But I already done hit 60 of them. And in that time, I'm going to tell you, I've learned a couple of things.
Come on.
There are some things I know for sure. Okay. And I know that we can add so much complexity to the simplest truths of the Word of God, of God's love for us. And when we're trying to examine and define and make sense of the senseless, listen, I have learned in 60 years that some stuff don't make sense. It ain't gonna make sense. It ain't never gonna make sense.
Right on, brother.
Amen, First Lady. I love her too. But one of the things that we can rely on is God's love in the midst of stuff that don't make sense. Quit trying to make sense out of stuff that you need to just rely on God for. Go back to your center place, which I would suggest to you, certainly for me, is the fact that God is love and that he loves me. Not just that he is love, but that he loves me. If I'm working at all at this thing, I'm working to more fully persuade my own heart of this truth every day. Because John tells us if we're afraid, it's for fear of what he might do, and shows that we don't really find ourselves in a place that we're convinced that he really loves us. Listen, I'm convinced, and I want to be more convinced every day. Because that's at the center of any stability I hope to have in this world. If I'm trying to make sense out of coronavirus, if I'm trying to make sense out of economic upheaval, if I'm trying to make sense out of my senator, representative, president, I could, but they'd all be in the same category, First Lady. I can't understand them. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm not sure what makes any sense out of what they're saying to each other or about each other. You say, well, they're sending out stimulus checks. Mm-hmm. Praise God for that. But after the 10 minutes that you had that stimulus money and spent it,
Now what? Okay.
Can I tell you, some folks' bank account was so far in the negative when the stimulus hit, it had $3.17 left, okay? What do you do then? What do you know for sure?
Help, help, Lord, help.
You better have a foundation. You better have a place of stability. And for me, that is the love of God. That is the very person of God and his love for me. What do I know for sure? I know he is love, and I know he loves me. Listen, I've seen some dark days. I know some of you out there could tell me some stories about your life, some dark times, some disappointments, some grieving moments that are tremendously heavy, even as you think about them now. Some of us have got some stories. Listen, we've heard stories. We've seen, we've seen people have been through some horrific stuff. I think about our own minister, Felicia Tucker. And she has revealed some of the things that happened to her earlier in life. And you think, how in the world do you even come back with that and know your name? I mean, you know, it's like, forget about it. God's love. God's love.
Right.
Listen, it's not weak. It's not wishy-washy. It's not sappy. God's love is, in my mind and experience, unquestionably the most powerful force in the universe. The love of God is unfailing and unfathomable. Get in and swim around in that. Get in and let yourself just be immersed in that. Because if there's any hope of making sense out of the senseless, if there's any hope of being successful when all hell is aligned and arrayed against you, it will be in your understanding and embracing of the truth that God is love and that he loves you. What do I know for sure? That's one I know for sure. God loves me. God loves me. I'm convinced of it and working at being more convinced of it every day. Letting the truth of his love experientially and the truth of his love in the word as I read it and meditate on this, that God loves me, that he so loved the whole world that he gave his son, that he didn't just start loving us. Jeremiah said, I've loved you forever. I've loved you from the beginning. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I didn't just start loving you today. And even knowing what would come up in your life and what would come up in the world. And in spite of that, I love you.
I love you.
It is amazing. All right now. So Minister Collins messing with me over here. She got the whispers coming up on her. It's a love thing. Yeah, every time you call my name, let me come back now. My time is up. I'm out of time, y'all. But let me leave you with this, and I hope that you return next week and in the following weeks, because I got a few more to go over with you. But this is five things this month that I know for sure. And I don't think of there's a better way for me to start off this list than with number one, the love of God. God is love. And more importantly, I know he loves me. Mm-hmm. So go with that this morning. I hope that's an encouragement to you. We're going to build a little more foundation because I'm going to tell you what, in this day and time, in this particular set of circumstances in which we find ourselves entering 2021, it is important that we're able to take a breath, step back, and look to the center and say, what is it I know for sure? What foundation can I dust off and rebuild on? Listen, oh my God, I'll leave this thing alone, but when the storms have come and they didn't miss you, they hit you straight up. I think about the folks sometimes in Arkansas or Alabama or Louisiana, and they're interviewing them. And they say, this is all that's left of your house is this foundation? Everything else is blown away. Everything else is washed away. Everything else is carried off. And they ask them, what are you going to do? And with tears in their eyes, they look the cameraman in the face and they say, We're going to rebuild. Because the foundation is strong. The foundation is still there. After all I've been through, after all that's happened, the foundation is sure. The foundation is steady. And I can rebuild on the foundation that God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Amen. God bless you. We will see you again next week, 9 o'clock, right here on Transformation Hour. Bye-bye now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.